our Lord. Amen. I want to put you at ease very quickly. If you see the title of the sermon today, I will not break out in song. Was it Willie Nelson who wrote that one, On the Road Again? Yeah. One of my favorite people. Right next to, what's his name? MacArthur Park. I've forgotten. Nobody remembers?
Richard Harris,
yes. MacArthur Park and his great poem, There Are Too Many Saviors on My Cross. I commend him to you. But let's get back to the task at hand. It is today, in my Roman Catholic brothers and sisters' world, the Feast of Holy Innocents. And in case you're not aware of what that commemorates, it commemorates Herod's killing of the children. It is one of the darker days in the liturgical year, and Presbyterians, being sometimes the joy boys of the faith, we tend to gloss over that. But we do well to remember it, that it was into this violent, unfair world that Jesus was born. And it is a fact that in our lesson today, Jesus and his family become refugees. Joseph is warned in a dream to take the family to Egypt so that he would be out of the jurisdiction of Herod and away from Herod's designs. Now, we think of, if you're like me, I think of Jesus and Joseph and Mary just barely crossing the border into Egypt and hanging out there for a couple of years until Herod is dead. But actually, there was a large Jewish community in Alexandria, and we believe that's where Joseph and Mary and Jesus went, to a place where they could fit in, to a place where they could observe their customs in life, to a place of people who were like them. And perhaps most importantly, to give the boy Jesus in his youth and formative years a sense of the traditions of his faith. They were in exile, but the Lord provided for them a community in which they could live and in which Jesus, the child, could begin to understand and appreciate the faith into which he was born. After Herod died, they moved back to the land of Israel at an angel's urging. But it still wasn't all that terribly safe, because Archelaus, the son of Herod, was in power. Caesar had put him in power at Herod's request so that the legacy would continue. And so they avoided him like the plague. Finally, the angels came to Joseph again and said, "It is now safe to go into Galilee, to Nazareth, because everybody who sought the child's death are dead themselves." Angels talking to Joseph. It's kind of noteworthy that after this reading, Joseph kind of disappears from the scene. As I said a couple of weeks ago, Saint Joseph is the patron saint of lost causes and lost items and of homes that will not sell. Yeah, it's so true. I think I told you that my Catholic priest friend told me when we put our house on the market in Savannah, he said, "Bury a statue of Saint Joseph upside down, the house will sell." Sure enough, 3 days later, we got an offer. I'm not going to You know, I don't know what that juju is, but I'm not going to knock it. And so here they come, the Holy Family, returning to the neighborhood of home. There they are. They've been on the road, and now they've finally made it back into the promised land. There was collateral damage along the way. The holy innocents, the children whom Herod killed. Our roads, which we follow, like the Holy Family, often have collateral damage around us. Life is not fair. People ask, how could God's will allow for the destruction of all those children? And my response to them is, that was not God's will. That was Herod's evil. That had nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with the fears of a megalomaniac who could not stand to suffer any threat to his reign. That was not God's will. But that was the way life was and is. The innocent still cry out in children who are malnourished in our own nation, in the children of Ukraine who are cold and hungry. The innocent still cry out, and such is our life. And instead of bemoaning it and berating it, we would do well to learn to work within it as we pursue our roads in life, which God leads us down. If you open the eyes of your soul and consider the paths your life has taken, I am sure that you can remember those marvelous moments when some urging gave you a hint of where you should go. Those little moments which made a sharp yet gentle nudge and headed you in the direction where you are today. Now you say, well, angels don't speak to me like they did to Joseph. Sometimes angels have very soft voices. Let me tell you, I have never had an angel show up in a dream and tell me what to do. But I have had those gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit, which urged me to take the roads which I have taken. When I got the call to the ministry many, many years ago, I made a deal with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I will go into the ministry, but I do not care to be a parish minister. I want to be a hospital chaplain. And the Lord said, okay. So I went to seminary, and I studied long and hard and got my degree in pastoral care and counseling, institutional pastoral care and counseling, exactly what you need to go to work in a hospital. And at that moment, when I got my degree in 1982, the Lord had his hand in something. It was called diagnostic-related groups, which insurance and Medicare adopted. And it was simply saying, if you have your tonsils taken out, you can't spend a week or 10 days in the hospital. Oh, the gravy train was over for the American healthcare system. And guess which departments they closed first? The pastoral care departments. And I went to my supervisor and I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you have a choice. I said, I don't see one. He said, go into parish ministry or starve. You can see, I did not starve. So I made another deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I will go into the parish ministry, but please don't send me to South Georgia. I spent over half my career in South Georgia. I'm so sick and tired of pine trees. And the only fishing I could do down there was bass fishing. And I don't eat bass. And I don't eat wild catfish. And I don't eat anything that comes out of the Flint River, nor the Altama. I lived and served all over South Georgia, Bainbridge, Albany, Brunswick, Savannah. I killed so many gnats and mosquitoes, it would probably be considered genocide in the entomologist's world. And then the Lord saw fit to let me retire, take care of my father in Atlanta in his last year, and then get a call to retire. Yes, you do get a call to retire. Let me tell you, it snuck up on me. So we retired and moved to Blue Ridge. And I think the Lord is looking at me and smiling, and he's saying, had enough? Yes, Lord. The Lord has four ways of answering my prayers. There's yes, there's no, there's not right now, and there's quit messing with me. Okay? We have our roads that we travel, our roads of the Spirit, our roads of life, and we all have those moments when God guides us in the way he wants us to go. And sometimes, those ways may not be on the maps we had designed for ourselves, and yet it all works out. It all works out for God's glory in the end. Even though we live in a world that doesn't pay its dues by the month, and sometimes not by the year, and sometimes not by the lifetime, it works. God calls us to be patient and willing to travel the roads he has given us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. You, O Lord, have called us to be on the road again and again and again, and so we are. Help us to listen for those gentle nudges, which are your angels speaking to us as they did to Joseph so long ago. Help us to be patient pilgrims and guide our steps each and every day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.